complete set of Zodiac Heads here by Ai Weiwei. And this is actually a prelude to a very, very, the first retrospective, major retrospective that will take place here in October called Ai Weiwei, According to What. And this, the show is originally organized by the Mori Art Museum in Tokyo. And it will be traveling here and will really kind of showcase the entirety of this very prolific and provocative artist from China, Ai Weiwei. And also there is another installation at the Sackler Museum called Fragments, which is also by the same artist, and this will be opening on May 12th. And I know they just finished installing, and it's a beautiful wooden sculpture that is it's basically made out of wood joinery techniques from old temples, and the structure is made into this form of the map of China. And so I think it'll be a really interesting kind of dialogue with this installation. So I just wanted to kind of give you a brief overview of the artist and his kind of life, as well as the focused kind of idea of what the significance of Zodiac Heads here. These are 12 bronze heads based on the Chinese astrological zodiac, and they are enlarged and reinterpreted versions from the original heads that were at the Yuan Ming Yuan, which is an 18th century garden. It was an imperial retreat in Beijing, and it's called the Garden of Perfect Brightness. And originally the heads were positioned, they were carved out of stone, and they were positioned around the garden in a semicircle, and they were much smaller, but unfortunately they were pillaged by invading Europeans during the Opium War, and only five of them have been were destroyed, and seven of them have been accounted for, and seven of them are actually based on this original stone heads, and the rest are kind of reinterpretations of the artist. And so I will kind of get back to the significance of that, the original versus the kind of copy or his versions. And the heads were used as water spouts of this fountain clock. So when you're looking at these, this is actually based on the compass coordinates. So the very northern end, which is the rat, and the very southern end, which is the horse, they are based on the way in which this Chinese zodiac has been originally kind of envisioned. And so it perfectly aligns within those kind of astrological coordinates. And so you can really see how this kind of cyclical functioning of time is conceived in the Chinese tradition. So just to give a background on Ai Weiwei, and before I get into this, this is the book of Circle of Animals, published through Prestel, and we will probably have this in the stores. I'm not sure exactly the date, but if you are interested, this has a kind of full variety of all of the scholars, about five essays who have gathered together to write on this topic in a range of themes. And so if you have any interest, let me just give this to you so that I don't have to carry it the whole time. Okay. So just to give you a background on Ai Weiwei, he's best known for perhaps collaborating with Herzog and Demiron for the 2008 Beijing Olympic Stadium called the Bird's Nest. And and also, he has been working in a broad spectrum of disciplines, art, architecture, design, and social activism, and also in a variety of media, which includes sculpture, photography, video, site-specific architectural installations. And some of the things that he's investigated throughout his work is minimalist geometric forms and cultural codes and functions of materials, ranging from glass, wood, ceramics, porcelain, marble, to tea leaves, pearls, and sunflower seeds. And then he's also a master of manipulating traditional furniture and ancient traditional wood joinery techniques. And he's also known for his very iconoclastic approach to found materials and appropriating ancient urns and vessels to question age-old cultural values of authenticity and originality. And also he's very devoted to human rights, which is reflected in his most recent project, which is very controversial commemoration of thousands of children who were killed in the Sichuan earthquake in 2008. And Ai Weiwei is widely known for using the social media as an international platform for digital activism. And one of the new kind of pieces that you'll see coming this fall is his reaction towards the Sichuan earthquake. And so we'll have a new section in our exhibition kind of devoted to this new project. Ai Weiwei was born in 1957 in Beijing, and his father was a very key literary figure and poet, and he was also exiled in the early 1930s during the time of the People's Republic, and he was also swept up by a purge of intellectuals during the 1950s and jailed and tortured by the Kuomintang. So as an infant, Ai Weiwei was banished with his family, exiled to Xincheng, which is a remote region of west of Beijing. And in 1966, he was further banished to the edge of the Gobi Desert, along with the first wave of the Cultural Revolution, and then returned to Xincheng in 1971. Yuan Ming Yuan, which is the imperial retreat where the fountain, the bronze heads were placed. This is the first place that he went to when he returned to Beijing in 1975 as a teenager, and he would visit the ruins. So you know the retreat was pillaged by the Europeans, and and so this ruin is kind of this also hybrid of during the time the original heads were designed actually by this Italian Jesuit priest named Giuseppe Castiglione and made by French artists as well. So this kind of the actual heads were not traditional Chinese styles, but this is a kind of hybrid style. And so at the time, he was very interested in this kind of influence of the West within these very kind of high-class national treasures and the kind of significance of Western tradition within Chinese history. And in Beijing, when he was returned in 1975, Ai Weiwei was also part of the Stars Group, which is an avant-garde experimental group, and they were very important because in 1979, the artists were denied an exhibition space, and they put up their artwork outside of the kind of railings outside of this museum space called the China Art Gallery, and they were shut down by the police officials, and that was really the start of his kind of avant-garde and experimental activities. And they were in a protest. They marched to kind of in the name of human rights and freedom of expression. So this was in 1979. And then in 1981, he left for New York. And he spent over a decade in New York, and which was a very, very formative period of his conceptual training as an artist. And he was exposed to the works of Duchamp, Jasper Johns, as well as Andy Warhol. So in a way, some of this idea of appropriating kind of traditional forms is a kind of homage to the avant-garde aesthetics of appropriation as well as pop that you see in avant-garde history in the West. And also during the period, he was very actively photographing the political events that were occurring during that time, such as the protests that were going on in Tompkins Square Park. And he was also close to Allen Ginsberg, some of the literary figures in New York throughout the 80s and 90s. And so he's very unique in the sense that he wasn't really trained within China, but his kind of aesthetic and conceptual training was really within the traditions, unmediated within New York. And so that's something to consider when you're looking at his work. And then in 1993, he returned to Beijing to care for his father, who was falling ill. And during that time, he co-founded the Chinese Art Archive and Warehouse, a non-profit loft gallery in Beijing. And then in 2003, he established an architecture studio called Fake Design. So he's really started to kind of expand his practice by the early 2000s. And then in 2007, he was invited to participate in Documenta, which is a major kind of exhibition that takes place every 5 years in Germany. And he did a project called Fairy Tale, where he invited 1,001 Chinese citizens to travel from China to Documenta. He documented the entire process. And this was very, very interesting because some of the individuals didn't even have passports. It was the first time they were going out of the country. And a lot of the kind of real-life situations that you normally wouldn't see, the kind of difficulties and challenges that each of the citizens had faced were documented. And that this work, which is actually a film, will be included in the new exhibition as well. And in recent years, Ai Weiwei has become a kind of worldwide international figure, and he's had solo exhibitions at the Mori Art Museum, which is the one that's coming here, and then also at the Haus der Kunst in Munich, and at the Tate Modern, as well as the Photo Museum in London. So that's just to give you a very kind of brief overview of his life. The Zodiac Kids were first conceived in 2008 when Ai Weiwei was really having this discussion or thinking about public art in his, and the impetus for it really was there are these seven heads that were the original seven heads from the 18th century Yuan Ming Yuan imperial retreat were actually up for auction through Christie's, and it was through this collector who's a famous fashion designer, Yves Saint Laurent. And so when he saw these seven heads through auction, he felt that it was a very, very interesting kind of situation that went on, because right as the heads went on sale, they were the Chinese government tried to buy them back because they saw it as a national treasure. And so as the sale was going on, the Chinese government actually did not pay for, they refused to actually give money for this, for the sale, and so the sale was aborted, and so these seven heads actually still exist in Europe. But this situation, or I don't know if some people kind of see it as a scandal, but it kind of raised a lot of different questions as far as the signification of whose work, whose national treasure is this, given that it is a kind of hybrid stylistic work, and the fact that these were pillaged by French and British troops and made their way through to Europe. But at the same time, so the Chinese tried to reclaim them, and yet they were unable to do so. And so there's just different kinds of levels or complex levels of meanings that one can kind of think about in terms of whose work really is this. And so the sale was actually went through Christie's, and it was Yves Saint Laurent. He got them probably through generations of, because they were pillaged by French and British troops, they were taken into Europe, and then I'm sure it went through several hands before it came to Yves Saint Laurent. So that's how he was able to collect them. And then he put them up for auction. So in terms of the kind of questions of national treasure, you know, they are reinterpretations. And so, you know, this issue of international looting and the nature of cultural patrimony and China's relation to its own history, as well as Ai Weiwei's interest in China's past and future. As China emerges as a global power, much of his work is really concerned about this alignment of power with social progress. And so Zodiac Heads really functions as part of questioning Chinese history and how it's understood today. And the just to get back to the kind of specifics of the work and the process in which he made them. So these were originally cast in plaster and then in rubber, and then they were made as bronze models. But through several kind of testing processes, he also created a gold version. So he gilded these in pure gold, they were made in these specific kind of original proportion, the original sizes, as the same as the ones from the 18th century. And so there's actually two versions of these. And these were specifically made so that they were about 10 feet in height, and they're about 800 pounds each, so that the viewer has a kind of distinct perspective where they are positioned above eye level. And he wanted to have a very kind of accessible also relationship to them, so that even though you don't know about the kind of Chinese significance of the Chinese zodiac, you might have, you know, anyone from a child to a very old, you know, visitor can come and kind of relate with them, as you know, with each of these animals. And so, as a public monument, I mean, it's a kind of belated memorialization to this original past 18th century work. But at the same time, it is also a very public and broader kind of social work that anyone can kind of enjoy. So these characteristics are very much indicative of Ai Weiwei's kind of approach to art. And the heads were actually, some of the heads were the ones that were re-envisioned. So the ones that he could not see some of the originals, he used his own kind of models. For instance, this ram that is right in front of us. This is based on a little stone ram that he has in his studio outside in his courtyard. So so it's modeled after his own kind of collection of stone sculptures. And then the snake is a very kind of modern imagination or re-envisioning of a snake. And the dog and roosters, which you see on here, this is the rooster, are much more kind of a realistic depictions of these animals. And the dragon, which is over here, right next to the snake, is based on a Ming Dynasty kind of aesthetic of dragons. And so these are some of the animals which he really kind of took part in formulating his aesthetically himself. The others are really based on the originals, and also the motifs. So, because these were arranged around a fountain clock, he really wanted to kind of instill a very kind of dynamic kind of movement. So, especially with the tiger, which is over across from us, next to the rabbit is you'll see that the tufts of hair, it looks like it's really in motion, kind of rising out of the water, as well as the dragon itself. It's very, very kind of violent in its you know, expression. And so, and also the bases are these kind of stems that were envisioned from lotus roots, as well as very textured kind of materials that he wanted. You know, he did not want a kind of rectangular traditional pedestal, which would kind of be a mirror to the animals. He wanted them to really kind of specify each kind of presence. And the gold versions that actually are in the book, let me just show you. It's okay. So here's one of the gold versions. You'll see that this is actually, he uses this traditional square pedestals, but each of the bases are individualized based on the animal. So in this case, they're gold coins. And this is based on the significance of the snake, which is a sign of financial fortune and beauty and cunningness. I'm actually a snake, so I know about this quite well. And it, just for those of you who don't know, each one of us is it's basically the animals are have designated years. And so... and it's every 12 years. And so the rat is obviously the first of all signs, so it kind of goes in this clockwise circle. So this year is the year of the dragon. And then the next year, which 2013 will be the year of the snake. And then 2014 will be the year of the horse. So it just kind of goes in this... in the circular, cyclical direction. Thank you.
Where did the smaller gold versions, where are they now?
They're in private collections.
They're separated then?
Yeah. They were made for in internal, so for display inside museums and also inside galleries. So a much different kind of, yes. Well, actually, no, they could be shown together as well, but not necessarily in this kind of circular format, yeah.
How does he get along with the Chinese government now, considering what's happening now with China?
It's very, very difficult. So he was detained last year for tax evasion. But I think that was really more of a symptomatic thing for... he's had a very long standing... challenging relationship with them, especially it kind of escalated when he started to investigate the victims, the school victims of the Sichuan earthquake, and those numbers were not made public, and he felt that was, and it was a major issue because of the families whose lives, whose, you know, children whose were lost, and so he wanted to act on behalf of the families, and it's still under investigation because the schools were basically constructed very shoddily. I mean, it was they called them like tofu housing, but there were a lot of buildings that were still up except for the schools, and so. So that those kinds of activities led, I think, in part to his arrest, but they couldn't arrest him specifically on those terms, and it was so the terms of the arrest were based on tax evasion, and he's been under house arrest, and he will be under house arrest until June of this year, and so we're hoping that he can come and travel for the opening
in October,
yes, but we're not sure. There's a real kind of history of Chinese dissidents, and it does affect the bilateral relations between China and the U.S. So Ai Weiwei is definitely a part of that, and I don't know if necessarily because he's famous, you know, it's really the situation, each kind of situation. Anyway, that's pretty much... you know, my kind of overview of the zodiac heads at the moment. But if you have any further questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
That, original 17th century fountain clock statues were actually designed by a Jesuit.
Yes.
Who was living in the Chinese.
Yes, so there were Italian Jesuits. Well, the primary person who was designed the original heads was Giuseppe. I don't know if I need this anymore, but Giuseppe Castiglione. And he was a quite well-known artist and Jesuit priest who went to China. This was in the 18th centuries. The heads were actually pillaged in 1860. So until that time, and the retreat was only accessible to the high class, the imperial family. So they were actually on stone heads. That the originals were stone, yeah.
The originals were
stone carvings, yeah. And they were they were spouting the water, and they basically were the water would spout out of the mouths based on the time of the day. So in a sense, if it was like 2 o'clock, it would be the rabbit, or 6 o'clock, it would be the horse. Yeah, it was really a fountain clock.
What is the significance of our fountain?
That is a difficult question to answer. You should have to ask our maintenance crew.
It's just kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Because it would be wonderful to see them.
I know. It really needs the water to really activate. The sculptures. February 24th.
Lots of time.
Yeah.
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 And where do they go from here?
I'm not sure. The retrospective is traveling to Indianapolis Museum. But I don't think that the Zodiac heads are actually going to travel. It's already toured through 6 cities. So it's gone to Sao Paulo, New York, London, Taipei, Houston, and Los Angeles.
And the Chinese government owns it. Who
owns it? This is owned by a New York collector.
Oh.
Yeah, it was actually he really kind of sponsored, and his name is Larry Warsh.